Welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and this is Financial Survival. As normal, I'm sitting for Melody Searsham today as she does some other chores, and it's good to have you with us. We're going to have about a few minutes. We're going to bring up Wendy Wilson with Apothecary Herbs. And folks, listen to what Wendy's saying. This woman will tell you the truth and help you physically any way possible if you just call and talk to her. But we'll get started, as always, with the markets. And markets, they had a good day all over the world. I mean, really. Dow had a tremendous day. There's up almost 500 points to 32886. S&P was up 164. I'm sorry. Was up 72 to 4164. NASDAQ was up 339 to 12687. And DAX was up. Nikkei was up. FTSE was up. Hang Seng was up. All of them are up. So the markets worldwide have done really good. I don't understand why, but they did. But anyway, gold was actually... Gold keeps on struggling, but it was up. I'm trying to find numbers here, and it was actually down a little bit. 760 down to 1782. Silver was up a little bit, about 20 cents to $20.05. Platinum was up 12.50 to 90.904.50. Palladium was up 30. Was down 31. Excuse me, down 31 to 20.23. So, just bounce around really. I can't explain to you folks. When the markets are booming, gold and silver is still a mixed bag, although they're kind of holding their own at a certain level, 1700, 1800 for the gold and 20s right now. They're thereabouts for the silver. So hang in there. They will turn around. And that is a fact. They will turn around. The 10-year yield was down 0.015 at 2.729. Crude oil was down $3.45, folks, to 90.97. And it's starting to show up a little bit in the price. Nothing to get excited about, but showing up some in the price anyway. Natural gas was actually up about 56 cents to 8.26. So, again, it's a kind of a mixed bag and kind of different way to look at it. USDX was up 0.12 to 106.37. So, overall, markets and other indicators look good. Metals are still struggling, but they are holding their own. Now, eventually that's going to flip-flop. I don't know when or how, but it's going to happen. So bear with us as we try to get these things out to people and share with people what's going on, because this whole nation, this whole world's economics are fluctuating. And in my mind, like a pot on a stove is starting to boil with no outlet. It's going to blow. Just don't know when. Now, let's go to our guest, Wendy Wilson. Wendy is always coming on with great information for us, folks. She's such a blessing to have on the program. And people do call us, by the way, Wendy. They'll call me in the office tomorrow. I'm in the office and say, we listened to you and Wendy yesterday. We really enjoyed the program. So I want you to know that you're reaching people.
Oh, well, wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. Praise the Lord.
I mean, people actually like you.
Oh, praise the Lord on that, too.
Anyway, I'm going to let you get started. I know you said you had something you want to talk about. Thanks for your interest. Why don't you go right ahead?
Right. I know we're all kind of sick and tired of the pandemic talk, but this is a very interesting study that is coming out of the Public Library of Medicine Center for Biotechnology, and this was January 2020. And it's really given us a bigger, broader overall scope on looking at pandemics through history. So, if you ask science today, they're telling us the human race is creating pandemic diseases. So this is not them admitting, that the scientists are actually men creating the animal zoonotic diseases. What they're saying is man is causing the emergence of these diseases just by existing, which I don't agree with. So the global population is being told to, get used to your pandemic after pandemic, and it's all our fault. That's what the message is. But history is painting a very different picture. History shows random pandemics. However, science is trying to convince people that what we're experiencing is nothing new and it's expected. So that's a big fat lie. So there's really no evidence in history that shows such a pervasive pounding of new pandemic-like diseases until just recently. So that, we're experiencing today is unique. And the report I'm going to give you is not to instill fear. but it's to make you aware, knowledgeable, and for you to prepare accordingly. Okay. Here is a quote from the BBC network, and you hear this on major news networks. The next pandemic is inevitable. It's coming. You can't avoid it. Also, Duke Global Health Institute says large pandemics are more likely than we previously thought. And the BBC, chiming in one more time, says human activity has created an evolutionary shift in creating opportunities for what is known as zoonotic spillover. Uh-huh. So how do you stop a pandemic, Pastor Butch? How do you stop one? Well, our political and media enterprises...
It's easy. You shut down the world economy. That's how you stop it.
Well, exactly. The political and media enterprises are instructing the public that the only way to overcome an onslaught of a plague is to prepare globally. In other words, it's got to be a global collaboration effort. Also, they're saying you may have to sacrifice human rights and freedoms, may be required, and also experimental treatments from healthcare authorities is going to be necessary. So those are the three biggies that we're being pounded with. But people are being conditioned, Pastor Butch, to expect pandemics and to follow government protocols and accept the new way of life. Duke Global says this: most people are likely to experience an extreme pandemic like COVID-19 in their lifetime. So they're priming the pump to make it a normal thing. Well, this study in August 2021, this is the Journal of the American Academy of Science, they did some research, and it suggested that the plague-infused reality we're being told to live in has been a normal thing for 400 years. And I read that, and I said, really? Since the 1600s, man has experienced plague after plague like we are today? I don't think so. And I highly doubt what they're saying. So the research goes on to say that the history of disease shows that past outbreaks point to not only a recurring probability, but also pandemics that are more severe in intensity. So we're talking about evolutionary history, or the kind of history given a push maybe by science. Which is it? I don't think it's the normal, natural kind. I think it's the scientific creation kind. So we the public are instructed by science to readjust our perception of a pandemic, in which everyone should expect at least one pandemic, if not more, in their lifetime. And according to science, the pool of pathogens is quite large, from pigs to bats. So, and you know, they've even changed the definition of what we know a vaccination to be, correct?
Yes.
So a natural medicine journal said the animal reservoir seems to be mainly rodents. Well, that's an interesting quote. In part, that's kind of correct. I thought, you know, science was, you know, into the bat caves, procuring specimens for virus research, and they are. And the following is really a list of diseases spread by rats, rodents, insects on these things, you know, that travel with them, you know, like fleas and ticks and mites. So the hantavirus is on the list of rodent viruses. Also, lymphophagocytic, long name here, chronomelangitis virus. This is a virus that is isolated by science. They isolated in 1933. They isolated that. Then, of course, you know, the bubonic plague, known as the Black Plague, salmonella, rat bite fever, and a rare bacterial infection called tularemia. So I really don't think science is restricting itself to just rodents for pandemics anymore in research. The research is really pointing to much diverse collections of viruses, and science needs money from academic sponsors and drug companies and the government. Here's a published begging going on, basically. Nature Medicine published this in July 2022. They said, governments and funders are sleepwalking toward another pandemic unless they boost research and development on emerging infections. So they're saying, send us some money. Send us some money. So
imagine that.
Let's get to the big cherry on top now. So we're going to take a look at a list of plagues to see if we can see a pattern. And according to the January 2020 issued Journal of Public Library Medicine Center for Biotechnology, here is their list. So just starting in the 1960 area and moving forward to present day, we look at 1968, the Hong Kong flu. Remember that? Hong Kong flu?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, and then 1976, swine flu, but that turned out to be a hoax.
I remember
that. It was the drug companies trying to peddle their swine flu vaccine that really was designed for pig farmers. Also, 1981, the HIV/AIDS pandemic. 2002, SARS, your sudden acute respiratory syndrome, which they say may have come from bats. 2012 was MERS, the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, supposedly from camels. And 2014, 2016, the Ebola pandemic. 2015, the dengue, the mosquito thing. 2015 to 2016, the Zika mosquito thing. 2019, the COVID, supposedly again from bats. And then 2022, we have the monkeypox. Now, if we just jump back a little further, we see in 1899, cholera pandemics, in 1918, the Spanish flu, and then in 1957, avian flu. So here is where my brain goes, Pastor Butch. In the past 123 years, there have been roughly 11 pandemics that are viral in nature. Prior to the Spanish flu of 1918, there were two listed pandemics in history. 1347, that affected Europe, Asia, and North Africa, the bubonic plague, the Black Death. Remember that in your history book?
Yep.
And then 541 AD, plague of Justinian, which was also a bubonic plague in the Mediterranean region. So just two plagues. So how is it that in the ancient world, for over 800 years, the plagues were restricted to bacterial infections from rat fleas, but today it's a mass array of viral diseases from various animals. So there is a 552-year gap between the bubonic plague of 1347 and the cholera pandemic of 1899, and a 571-year gap between the bubonic plague of 1347 and the Spanish flu of 1918. So I'm asking, why is there such a concentration of pandemic viral disease since the 1920s? I thought about that a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Why, you know, why this, like someone, like it, the vials from God where the plagues are poured out, it's almost like that, you know, it's all of a sudden. And viruses can be extremely lethal and they're easily spread. So that's why they're chosen. They're more lethal and you can spread them very easily. So, but you know, people are saying, well, it's due to population, it's due to global warming or to human activity. I say that's very doubtful. I think the entire shift may have been sparked by Edward Jenner's smallpox experiments of 1796. Yes, vaccinology may have been the brainchild behind the modern day pandemic planet that we're in. So the COVID-19 virus should really reveal the intent due to the suppression of many treatments that could have been used other than the vaccine. And you got to remember, it's all about the proteins that evoke mechanisms in cells to perform certain tasks. So the DNA encodes information necessary for cells to make proteins. So when you control the protein, you control the DNA, and when you control the pandemic, you control the world. Public Library Medicine Center says this, since the 1990s, plague is classified as a re-emerging infection disease by the World Health Organization. So that's another important detail. Before 1990, the word definition of a plague referred to bacterial rodent infection or bubonic plague. So science today has the ability to make any disease reemerge into a novel disease citing a mutation, but science likes to call it horizontal gene transfer or genetic recombination. But it's not caused by changes in evolution in the ecosystem. It's changed on purpose in the lab. So it's really obvious when you look back at your history chart, that it's really not the ecosystem or natural evolution. It's really science forcing viral animal diseases to infect humans. And you got to remember, pandemics are random. They're never predictable. There's nothing random about what we're experiencing today. Modern day pandemics started 226 years ago, and God warned us about it in Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Yes, he did.
He said, you're going to, if you disobey, you'll have the plagues of Egypt and the plagues not listed of in this book.
Yep.
Yep. So that was, you know, a shot across our bow for sure. And if we just pay attention, he's telling us from the beginning to the end of the Bible, medicinal herbs are here to protect you and to heal you. And the nature of man really has promoted pandemics. We got evil people there, and we must be wise when we're dealing with our current times. And there are scriptural promises on health, as you know, Pastor Butch, and these are protections from God's medicinal herbs that God can't lie. He makes a promise, he fulfills it. So I plan to use those herbs and stand on those promises. So I tell people, you know, start to learn how to use your medicinal herbs. It's not hard. You learn how to brush your teeth and tie your shoe at a kid, you're going to learn to use these herbs. It'll be that easy. It'll be that natural. And you'll pick it up really quickly. It's not rocket science. So if they would like to give us a call at Apothecary Herbs, we can send them a free product catalog. And they all have to do is call 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or they can jump on the website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Pandemic kits, heart attack packs, snake bite kits, you got natural solutions for these everyday problems that you think you can't overcome. Think again, God gave you power. He did.
And you know, we simply trusted the science. We did in the 50s when I was growing up, in the 60s.
Right.
Well, they
right.
would never lie to us. This is for our own good. We got to take this vaccination. We got to take this shot. Not right. knowing they were spreading diseases with the shot. Cancer and many, many other diseases have been spread with the shot. And
right.
now today we have pandemics of cancer, if you want to put it that way. That never was never heard of growing up. No one I remember growing up had cancer.
Well,
that's
you the didn't, truth. And
or
you didn't
Alzheimer's.
Hear, right, and you really didn't hear about our pets having the same problems we're having, did you?
No, you didn't.
No. Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't. So it's really odd how we were told to trust the science, and the science shafted us. Put it that way, okay?
Well, I know. Well, they're giving the pets lots of vaccines. They have flu shots for your pets now. And oh, I mean, these poor pups and cats, they got leukemia. The leukemia is coming from the Bordetella shot. And that was a veterinarian virologist who told me that. Don't board your pets and get a Bordetella shot. They'll come down with cancer within 5 years. So,
wow.
Yeah.
It's bad.
So, and, you know, stay away from the commercial pet food. Just make your own pet food. Your puppies will be happier.
Yep. All right. Thank you. We'll be getting the phone number one more time.
866-229-3663. Have a great day.
See you next week. Folks, back to break. Don't go away. I got a lot of news to cover. Y'all hang in there.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we are back. I hope you enjoyed Wendy. I certainly did. Oh, if we were just knowing some of these truths 50, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, that would have been something, I tell you, folks. But we were trained to trust our government. You know, the three of the most dangerous, destroying words in the world, trust your government. But anyway, let's get on some news. I got some news I want to cover. This I mentioned later on our broadcast. Todd, our producer there, told us about this. And I thought this is nothing new with finances, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Well, it is financial, actually. City officials to possibly restructure guidelines of gun buyback program after money collected from ghost guns draw scrutiny. This in Houston. Social media users are sounding off after a person allegedly received more than $3,000 for turning in ghost guns at the gun buyback program hosted by Houston and Harris County officials last weekend. The No Questions Asked One Safe Houston program provided gift cards valued between $50 and $200, depending on the condition and the type of the firearm, to those who turned in the weapons. All guns were to be unloaded prior to arriving on site, officials said. According to the Houston Chronicle, authorities collected a box of ghost guns during the buyback event held Saturday at Wheeler Avenue Baptist Church. Yeah, folks, Baptist churches in Texas are involved in buying guns back. Ugh. A social media user, moderator George, posted the amount received was more than $3,000. The post read, "Hey, so we talked with the gentleman who sold these back. They bought them back as non-functional for $50 each, with 63 sold back. So $3,150 for an investment of $6 to $12 per hauler and confair." So anyway, the guy made his own guns. Went in and sold them and made $3,000. Bless his heart. Now, that's free enterprise at work, folks. I tell you what. If I had a 3D printer, I think I'd go in business like that. That is phenomenal. Good for him. Another issue of interest. Y'all probably know that ever since Roe v. Wade was overturned, the radical witches on the left and the men also, well, they're witches also, are getting very hateful, mean, spiteful, and destructive. And threatening, they have firebombed or destroyed 50 clinics that tried to help pregnant women, and not one person has been arrested. Not one person has been arrested with 50 different events. Well, Biden found the top Al Qaeda leader. His FBI hasn't found any domestic terrorists to attack 50 pro-life pregnancy centers. Now that's kind of strange, isn't it? He can find an Al Qaeda leader in the Middle East and hit him, can take him out of the drone. But the FBI isn't far enough to find even one of 50 people that attack pro-life centers in the United States. Isn't that amazing? I had on our broadcast last night, one of the gentlemen who worked with one of the places that was attacked, and they have video footage, more than one of them do, good pictures, overwhelming evidence, yet no one charged. Isn't that amazing? In New York State, the Attorney General of New York is coming after the pro-life clinics. Wow. Well, one more interesting fact on these issues. Taylor Swift, y'all probably know Taylor Swift. She's a little blonde, petite lady, I guess. It's a pop singer. country singer, I really know what she sings. I don't care much for music, and I don't care much for her personality and what she is. But nonetheless, Taylor Swift got in trouble, folks. You know why? She is on the top of the list for private jet polluters. That's right. Her plane flew 170 times in the first 200 days of this year, emitting 8,293.52 metric tons of carbon dioxide. So she's in trouble with the greenies because she flew her jet so much. Or somebody borrowed it, they said. But anyway, it's her jet. So she got in trouble by the greenies for flying her jet so much. So I thought that's important to know because, you know, the world hinges on the fact that she's flying her jet and that the cows I have in the field may pass gas. So we have to watch these things, don't we? I mean, you know, that's just natural. We've got to take care of these things. We have to make sure we're not producing any carbon dioxide or anything that could harm the environment. Although it's been proven that isn't happening by many scientists, but nonetheless, we don't know because the news doesn't tell us that. Now, this is an interesting story, and I'm tickled to see this happening. And we knew it would eventually. Chicago Health System to pay workers $10 million in settlement over vaccine mandate. Good, 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 good. The first settlement in the nation had been reached in a lawsuit filed by medical staff regarding an Illinois University System's coronavirus vaccine mandate. Chicago-based North Shore University Health System has agreed to pay more than 500 current and former healthcare workers a total of $10,337,500 as part of the terms of the settlement. It's also changed its policy to accommodate religious exemptions to requests and rehiring former employees who were fired or forced to resign whose exemption requests were denied. We knew that would happen, folks. Thank goodness it did. Represented by the nonprofit religious freedom organization Liberty Council, and by the way, folks, I support this Liberty Council. They're one of the best in the country. I've had one of the lawyers on our program many times discussing this, Jonathan Alexander. Super, super great organization to support. But anyway, represented by the nonprofit religious freedom organization Liberty Council, North Shore employees sued, alleging they were discriminated against because they were denied religious exemptions from the company's vaccine mandate. The settlement was filed Friday in the Federal Northern District Courts in Illinois. But as he says in a press release, Liberty Council said the settlement must receive approval from the Federal District Court, which I'm pretty sure it will. So over $10 million in settlements won by former employees who were fired for not taking the vaccine. Most of them getting reinstated and getting a chunk of money on the side. God bless them and God bless Liberty Council for their stand. It's good to see the pendulum swing sometimes the other direction, is it not? It's good to see that there are some people left with enough gumption, enough courage to stand up for what's right against the odds, and even against unpopular situations. Most people didn't wear a mask were considered terrorists and really mean-spirited people. I never wore a mask. I have no intention of wearing a mask. So far, I've gotten by just fine. Yeah, I've got some kind of weird looks sometimes where I've been, but that's okay. If you want to wear a mask yourself and look like an idiot, go right ahead. I don't mind. I'm just going to wear a mask. It's your choice. Do what you want. But I'm glad to see that over $10 million was won by these people, and they got the job back. Thank God for that. Well, you know that Nancy Pelosi did land in Taiwan. So I'm a little bit surprised by that. But again, the U.S. had no choice. If they didn't, if they backed down, they would lose face all over the world, even more than they already have, folks. And we can't afford to lose any more. Now, China, in retaliation, says China plans 4 days of military drills in areas encircling Taiwan. Now, we'll discuss this more in a minute and some different issues along this, but I just wanted to share this article. China will conduct large-scale military drills and missile tests around Taiwan in defiant show of force after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi became the highest-ranking U.S. politician to land on the island in a quarter century. Beijing announced 6 exclusion zones encircling Taiwan to facilitate live-fire military drills from Thursday to Saturday, or Sunday, with some of the areas crossing into the island's territorial waters. The size and scope of the areas could set the stage for the Chinese military's most provocative action near Taiwan in decades. Separately, the People's Liberation Army said exercises could start as soon as Tuesday, leaving open the possibility of military activities around Taiwan while Pelosi was visiting. The operations include long-range live firing in the Taiwan Strait and regular guided fire testing in the eastern waters off Taiwan's from 2 to evening, the PLA said. The action is targeted at the U.S. shocking recent major escalation on the Taiwan issue and serves as a serious warning to Taiwanese independence forces of those seeking independence. Shi Yi, a spokesperson for the Eastern Theater Command, said in a statement. Now, White House scrambles to avoid crisis amid Pelosi visit to Taiwan. The White House worked urgently to de-escalate tensions with China as the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi met Wednesday with Taiwanese President Xi Jinping and other officials during a high-profile visit to the self-governing island against the administration's wishes, hoping to head off a geopolitical crisis amid threats and military maneuvers by Beijing. White House officials warned that China is preparing itself for positive, aggressive actions in response to Pelosi's visit beyond this week. They reiterated forcefully that the Chinese Communist Party should not use a visit as a pretext to increase military activity in and around the Taiwan Strait. Well, obviously they did that. They're doing live exercises all around the Taiwan now, and the Taiwan Strait included. We've seen a number of announcements from the People's Republic of China in just the last several hours that are unfortunately right in line with what we have anticipated, White House spokesman John Kirby said Tuesday afternoon. China has positioned itself to take further steps, and we expect that we will continue to react over a longer-term horizon. That it would continue to react over a longer-term horizon. So America didn't back down on this. China threatened military intervention. That didn't happen. But what I can see in this game of tit-for-tat and I-dare-you situation, America come out on top on this one. China is doing military exercises. To my mind, that's no huge thing. They've been doing it for a long time. Maybe not this extensive or this close to the island. But they did nothing to stop the visit or in any way threaten Pelosi or her entourage while they were there. So I would think that probably in this situation, America actually came out ahead. That's my opinion. They did go. They had no problem getting in, and I assume they're still there. They're going to be getting in a couple of days. And nothing seems to have been out of the ordinary except the China picked up its drilling around the island a little more and did something maybe a little more intensified than it had before. So I think the U.S. did well on that. That's almost a galling to even say that for what we've done all over the world. But we did do this, and in my mind, she had no reason to be there anyway. I would think this was an instigation to see what would happen from China and see how they would react to this. Probably for future reference, we'll say. Now listen to this. U.S. to enrage Kim Jong-un with an assassination dry run. U.S. and South Korea are about to play war games again, and this time they're going for the jugular. For the first military exercise in 5 years, the Americans and South Koreans will polish up what military people here call the kill chain, in which they target the North missile and nuclear sites, plus bases needed to supply, refuel, and rearm them. Sources familiar with the U.S.-South Korea military alliance said the games will climax in a decapitation exercise where they play at invading the heart of the North Korean command structure and taking out the leader, Kim Jong-un. Although it's only a game, he's sure to take it personally, as he did in September 2017, when he ordered the North's sixth and most recent nuclear test after that year's war games. Well, I got to ask you, if somebody who had the power and the might to actually kill you practiced killing you, would that concern you some, maybe? I would think it would. So I can see where it might perturb him a little bit. It wouldn't me. If you get the head of the military forces, which is Kim Jong-un, theoretically, you gut the head of the snake. So this is from David Maxwell, your retired U.S. Army Special Forces colonel. So we teased and harassed China, but Pelosi going over there. China did react, but not near as aggressively as what they perhaps indicate he might. And now we have U.S. and Korea, South Korea, running drills, even to the extent of taking out Kim Jong-un. So I don't know what that's going to mean and what's going to be a retaliation for that either. But it seemed to me that worldwide we're poking at enemies that are able to strike back now, and then North Korea is. When we're poking at China, we're poking at Russia. How much is going to be tolerated before it's over, I have no idea. Maybe there's something in behind the scenes I don't see of that that Russia and China fear that we may have that they don't have. That's a possibility. I know one thing we have they don't have. We have GIs in red high heels wearing skirts. They don't have that. So that's maybe that's what's got them scared. I have no idea. But that's what we're seeing active in the military realm, if you will, worldwide. As Matthew 24 said, there are wars and rumors of wars. This is certainly fulfilling the rumors of war situation. And with what's happening in Ukraine, it's still an ongoing struggle, I suppose. I for one, personally amazed that Russia hadn't already taken that apart and settled it on their own terms. Is it prolonged on purpose? I don't know. Is Ukraine so well armed now and so well ready to fight that they can't take him down? I don't know that either. I just know that there's a lot of things happening that just seems to be sort of kind of out of balance. That makes sense? U.S. household debt, folks, the debt of people in this country, surpasses $16 trillion on higher mortgages. $16 trillion. U.S. debt increased by 2% to $16.2 trillion in the second quarter, with mortgages, auto loans, and credit card balances all seeing sizable increases, according to a report by the New York Federal Reserve Bank. The increase in borrowing, which equals $312 billion over the 3 months, reflected in part higher prices for homes and cars. Americans also are putting more on their credit cards to cover rising costs amid decades high inflation. You know, credit cards, I guess, can come in handy when you're desperate in this situation. Sad part is, folks, you got to pay them back or you're supposed to. The main driver was mortgage debt, which accounted for two-thirds of the rise last quarter, and a 13% jump in credit card debt year over year was the sharpest gain in more than 20 years, the New York Fed said in the quarterly report on household debt and credit. While household balances sheets overall appear to be in a strong position, and that, I'm sure, is a lie, we are still seeing rising delinquencies among subprime and low-income borrowers, some prime and low-income buyers with rates approaching pre-pandemic levels, said Jolie Scali, administrator of the Center for Macroeconomic Data of New York Fed. Consumers added a record $100 billion in credit card debt over the last year, but in aggregate, consumers still have plenty of room to spend with another $3.33 trillion in available credit on their cards. That's good. Back at the break, folks. A lot more to talk about.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hey, folks, we're back here. This is Pastor Butch Paul, filling from the LSC today on financial survival. Call her up and talk to her. Hey, harass her a little bit and tell her I sent you over and told you to do that. See if it'll make her love me more. But anyway, 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Call and talk to Melody. Just maybe call and make sure she's awake. 800-375-4188. Tell them I sent you over. But I got some more comments back in this article about household debt, $16.2 trillion. But it says that the homes appear to be in a strong position. Well, if they're in such a strong position, why are they charging things on a credit card to keep their head above water? And according to this article, there's another $3.33 trillion left available on credit cards. So does that mean they should go further in debt because they can't pay the bills? If you look at the news behind these articles, either these people who write these are extremely ignorant or stupid, or they think you are. Going further in debt means that you're doing well. I don't think it works that way. But I would think people would catch on that and quit reading these stupid things as far as taking them to be solid news. I really would. I mean, it insults my intelligence. I don't have that much, to tell you the truth. But it insults what little intelligence I have that they would try to convince me that going in debt means you're doing that you're prospering. Ugh. Back to Biden again and the illegals. Biden's DHS defends plan to give IDs to illegal aliens before release in U.S. My. President Joe Biden's Department of Homeland Security is defending a plan that would have the AG provide government identification cards to border crossers and illegal aliens before their release into the United States. Now, let me make this point. Border crossers without permission and illegal aliens are the same thing. They're both criminals. As Breitbart News reported last month, the Biden administration is considering issuing the ID cards to illegal aliens once they arrive at the U.S.-Mexico border. Now, listen to what they're doing it for, folks. Listen to why they're doing this. And think about your finances and how you struggle to keep your food on your table and your bills paid. Listen to what they're doing it for. The goal is to make securing public benefits easier once they are released into the American communities. Now, let me repeat that. Not once you're detained and put through the lawful way of entering the country. Not once you're shipped back to the country to come across illegally in. They're getting these ID cards so they can come into the country and get benefits right away as they're spread out through the communities in America. Does anyone give a hoot? In a statement to Epoch Times, officials with Immigration and Customs Enforcement defended the initiative as a cost savings for the agency. Annually, illegal immigration costs to American taxpayers more than $143 billion. Now, let me repeat that. This is what ICE is saying. I don't know whether they can tell them the truth or not. But the cost is $143 billion already. And now we're going to bring in and give them ID cards and get more benefits. I see. Now, if you keep them out, if you have to put the Army on the border, is what the Army's for, to keep them out, the cost will go to basically nothing except what it takes to feed the Army. if you leave them coming in the way they are, they already cost $143 billion a year, so let's give them more benefits so that would not make the cost go up. This makes sense to anybody besides me that we're already paying $143 billion and we're going to give them credit cards or debit, ID cards so they can get more benefits quicker at the taxpayer's expense. Again, either the DHS and ICE thinks we're extremely stupid, and I guess they do because they're getting by with it. That's what irks me. They're getting by with it. Not much is said about it. They're doing it. Greg Abbott, we're looking at other cities to send migrants to. We'll keep sending them until Biden administration does its job. On Tuesday's broadcast of the Fox News channel Hannity, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said that the state will continue sending buses of migrants to northern cities until the Biden administration does its job to enforce the laws concerning the border, and said that Texas is looking at other cities to send them to. Abbott said, "We have more buses headed their way as we speak right now." But Sean, this just shows the hypocrisy of these liberal leaders up in the Northeast to think, well, that border crisis created by the Joe Biden, that's fine as long as it's in Texas. That has to deal with it. But as soon as they have to deal with the real consequences of Biden's border crisis, they'll up in arms, calling for the National Guard. As you point out, dealing with a tiny fraction of what we have been had to deal with every single day. We're going to keep sending those buses up until they fully understand, and most importantly, Sean, until the Biden administration does its job to enforce the law enforcement in the border. He added, We are helping out these small communities by sending even more buses to these communities and putting these new migrants on the buses and send them to Washington, D.C. And we're looking at other cities to send them to. You know, Governor Abbott, I think you're doing the right thing. I don't like it, but it's right. I know they're sick of shipping illegals into West Virginia also, Charleston, Huntington, other places, Morgantown, Wheeling, shipping them by the bus, so not Texas, the federal government. I don't like what you're doing, Governor, but it's a great idea. Maybe get somebody's eyes open. I don't know. It may be too late to get anybody's eyes open anyway, but at least you're trying. I'll give you that. At least you're not afraid to take a stand, speak up, and do what you know you got to do. If all governors in the southern along the southern borders and even the Midwest borders the states would say so, would do this, then quite probably we would see a downturn of this happening across the border. I would think so. But at the expense of taxpayers, already over $143 billion a year and now counting more, I would think that eventually somebody will say enough's enough. But if you want to break the back of an economy in this nation, why not do that? Why not bring them in? Why not even come in and continue to eat up our substance, our wealth, our retirements? Why not give them all Social Security you want so you and I won't have any of them someday? And folks, just come in that. I know you don't want to believe that, but it's coming that. How else do you think the mark of the beast system is going to work, people? If people are not so afraid that they won't have anything to eat, nothing to wear, no place to sleep, if they weren't afraid of that, they would never fall into the system. But we have, haven't we? Judge struck down San Francisco's law allowing illegal aliens to vote. Well, finally, in a court, a judge made a right call. Finally. I just told you the other day San Francisco was going to hire illegals in their government jobs. You heard that in the county of San Francisco? They're going to hire illegals to do the government jobs. Well, at least now they can't vote for a while. A San Francisco, California law that allowed illegal aliens and other foreign nationals to vote in some local elections was struck down in court late last week. On July 29, San Francisco Superior Court Judge Richard Omer overturned the city's ordinance that was first passed in 2016, which allowed foreign nationals, including illegal aliens, to vote in citywide school board elections so long as they are a parent of a school-age child and are not incarcerated or out on parole. Now, let's make a couple comments here. San Francisco, this has been in place since 2016, so at least 6 years, folks, this has been going on. They've been out to vote. All they had to do to be able to vote is have a child of school age and a parent, and of course, and a child of school age, and not being in prison. Now, they're illegals, which means your children are here legally also. They're getting free education at our expense, at taxpayers' expense, the federal and California taxpayers. The parents are probably getting some kind of welfare. If not, good for them if they're working, but they're still illegals. And they said they could vote. Well, the judge said no. By 2018, a Breitbart News report, the city has spent almost $400,000. Now, listen to this, folks. The city spent $400,000 to register a total of 61 foreign nationals to vote in the school board elections. The city spent $400,000 to register 61 voters for school board elections. Omer, though, ruled that the ordinance is in violation of the California Constitution, which specifically states that a United States citizen 18 years of age and resident is in this state may vote. Well, good for him. Good for him, seriously. But the city spent $400,000 so they could register 61 voters to vote in school board elections. My question is, why are they still in office? Why are the ones who passed this still in office? Is San Francisco and the people in San Francisco so far gone and so far, so cowardly, that they're going to say nothing about this? I don't know. And on the side of the sad news, Kansas rejects constitutional amendment removing the state-level right to an abortion. This is sad, but it happened. The right to an abortion will remain in Kansas Constitution. The right to murder remains in Kansas Constitution. It's a murder. Seven scientists during the Roe v. Wade trial in 1973 said that life begins at conception. The Supreme Court ignored it. Now, Kansas said, let's go ahead and slaughter our children. It's in our Constitution. Now, I'm not going to go through this much longer, but this is Kansas, you'll get what you got coming to you. Believe me, a God still on the throne and still watching. Shame on you, Kansas. Shame on you, Kansas. Period. Shame on you, Kansas. So Kansas has said that their constitution gives the right to murder a woman's child. The woman can murder her child. That's not abortion, folks. It's murder. It's just plain murder. Murder. And on the other hand, Georgians, thank goodness for Georgia, thank you, can claim an embryo as a dependent on tax returns. Now, in Kansas, it's not really a baby. In Georgia, it's already there enough you can claim on tax returns. The Georgia Department of Revenue said Monday that in-state residents can claim embryos with a detectable human heartbeat, a dependence on their taxes. It added that an embryo with a detectable heartbeat has been added to the definition of dependent, effective July 20th, the date of the 11th Circuit Court Appeals ruling, which allows all murders in the state to be banned once a fetal heartbeat is detected by an ultrasound. The Supreme Court in late June overturned Roe v. Wade decision that had established its constitutional right to murder. Since that ruling, a number of states have moved to ban murders. I know said abortions. I refuse to say the word abortion. I'm going to say what it is. It's just plain murder. I know some people don't like to hear that, and I really don't care. It's just the way it is. Thank you, Georgia, for doing that. Thank you. That is so wonderful this happened. Folks, you ever stop and think that with the roughly 75 million, maybe a few more than that we've slaughtered in the last 50 years, these children could have been tax-paying productive citizens, doctors, lawyers, coal miners, ditch diggers, I don't know what, and paying into the system to support the elderly when they get older, that it's going broke. See, I know you said that's very cold. You're talking about something in the way of dollars. Yeah, I am. It's cold to murder them. That's period. Don't you think we're paying for that now? Don't you think America's paying for it in more than one way? Wow. More good news. A suburban bakery faced harassment for a kid-friendly drag show. Now officials are threatening to fine the owner. God bless them. This is a Chicago Tribune. A bakery that faced harassment and vandalism after advertising for a family-friendly drag show. A family-friendly drag show. That is an oxymoron. But anyway, is now being threatened with code violations if it hosts any future events, according to a letter sent from the far northwest suburb to the bakery's owner. The letter was sent to Corinna Sack, owner of the Uprising Bakery and Cafe in Lake in the Hills, on Friday by the village, spurring a response from the American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois condemning the village actions. Our hands are being tied and our backs are being forced up against the wall by our landlord in the village of Lake in the Hills, Sack said in a video posted to social media, in which she grows emotional as she says she has canceled two upcoming events. Uprising Bakery, which frequently offers live music sessions, poetry slams, and other community events, began receiving angry calls and social media reviews last month when they have advertised for a kid-friendly drag brunch scheduled for July 23rd. A child-friendly sexual deviancy brunch. The harassment intensified when people calling workers pedophiles and even, in one case, leaving a bag of feces outside the store. Sack previously told the Tribune she eventually canceled the event, which had police expecting crowds of protesters and counter-protesters, after the bakery was broken into and vandalized with slurs the right night before the show was to take place. Lake and Hills Police arrested Joseph Collins, 24, of Alslip. He was charged with a Class 4 felony, hate crime, and criminal damage to property. Kid-friendly drag events have been held in Chicago area for years, pitched as a way to offer inclusive programming for children, but events across the country have been targeted by far-right groups. Now, I got to make a comment here. Begin the program, he said 50 or so pro-life clinics have been firebombed. No one's been arrested. Not one person charged. And these people are threatening the lives of Supreme Court justice. No one's been charged with any kind of hate crime. This little bit of stuff done to the restaurant in Chicago area. Mr. Collins was arrested and charged with four felony hate crimes. What an injustice. What an injustice. Folks, I'm back with you tomorrow. Dave will be here with you tomorrow. Me and Mel will be with you. We'll see you then. Have a great night.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I've gotten